Welcome to God's Word for Us.com, Ghana's online Christian station. Be blessed as you listen to messages on the site.
Tonight I want to share with us on a very interesting topic. I've titled it, The Beauty of Purposeful Living. The Beauty of Purposeful Living. At the end of your journey on this side of the divide, two things will matter. When you look back, whether you find fulfillment, and when you look forward into eternity, whether there is a reward for you. These are the two things that will matter at the end of your journey in time. Most of the things we pursue, most of the things we spend our lives and we are spent fighting for, may not really count at the end of time. When you look back, what will matter is if there is fulfillment. And when you look forward, what will matter is if there is a reward. I keep teaching you, I tell you, the works of Jesus will take you to eternity with God. But your walk in, with, and for the Lord will give you a place in eternity. That's why Jesus advised us, he says, to lay up treasures in heaven. Where neither, let me use common words now, rat or thing, rodent, go in to eat and destroy, or thieves break in to steal. He says, lay up treasures in heaven. Lay up treasures. You must be deliberate about life. With a focus that when you come to the end of your journey, there should be both fulfillment and there should be reward. Otherwise, your existence will be a waste. But you see, whether these two things will await you at the end of time depends on one thing, purpose. This is why it's important that you understand what purpose is and you live your life solely to fulfill or to fulfill in purpose. Because if you don't, believe me, you will find out too late that your existence and your time on earth was wasted. Glory to God. And so tonight, three things I want to do is to show you the benefit of purposeful living. And then number two, show you what purpose entails. And then number three, give you few biblical examples of men that lived according to purpose. In fact, when you live according to purpose, even before you cross over, while you are yet here, you will know that your life is relevant. You will know that there's a reward waiting for you. Paul was speaking in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 6 to 8. You know, there's a way to live this life. There's a way. These scriptures blessed me so much. He said, for I am now ready to be offered. The guy came to a point where he knew his time on earth was over. These are not people fighting. Oh Lord, let me live long. Living long is a byproduct. Now, you are going to live long. Don't get me wrong. But there's no point living long if you are not living purposefully. Imagine Jesus lived for only 33 years. But he's the most impactful person that has walked the earth. This guy knew when his time was finished. He had extra time. He said, it's not important. I'm ready to go. Come on. I am ready to be offered. And the time of my departure is at hand. So he was not just ready. He knew. This is how the patriarchs lived their lives. When their time was over, they will call their children and say, gather around me. I have tokens. I have inheritances. I have something with God that I want to give you. So for them, it's not a going, it's not a coincidence, it's no accident. When Isaac wanted to leave, he called Esau and said, go get me a savory venison. I will eat and my soul will bless you. He knew it was time to go. When Jacob wanted to leave,
He said, gather around me, you sons of Jacob. I will tell you the things that will befall you. And the man was giving inheritances and shaping the destinies of his children. When he was finished, the Bible said he gathered himself and he rested with his fathers. What a way to live. They knew when to go and they were ready when it was time. Jesus was on the cross. Before that time, he said, this commandment have I received from my Father. I have the power to lay down my life and to take it up. He said, no man taketh my life from me, because purpose will keep your life. But when it was over, he looked at them and said, it is finished. And he looked up, he said, Father, unto you I commend my spirit. You will fulfill destiny. Your life will count. You will live a purposeful life. In the name of Jesus Christ, I am ready to be offered. He said, the time of my departure is at hand. Verse 7. He made some very powerful statements. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. This thing is a warfare. It's not a joke. If you want to live purposefully, you will fight. There will be distractions. There will be oppositions. There will be enemies. There will be wicked men. It's a battle. Even your flesh will want you to live a wasted life. He said, I have fought a good fight. I have finished. Don't live here until you are finished. Don't live here old. You were not designed just to live old. You were designed to live finished. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. He knew the path that he walked. Because the path of the just is as a shining light. It shines brighter and brighter unto the perfect day. But what is that path? The just shall live by faith. I have kept the faith. So I was not moving haphazardly. I walked on my lane of faith. And when he finished making this statement, next verse he said, henceforth. It's not begging God, Lord, if you are merciful, reserve a place for me. No, that one is not prayer. That one is not begging. That one is justice. Equity is the judgment of God that determines it. And if you qualify, you know. He said, henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge. So these are matters of equity and judgment. Justice. This is what is happening here. He said, we live, the righteous judge will give me at that day. And he made the statement that encouraged me. He said, and not only me, but unto all that love his appearing. So this is not exclusive, an exclusive reserve for Paul. This is for every one of us. A point will come in your life where you will say, my time is at hand. I am ready to go. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. A crown of righteousness is waiting for me. These are the six phrases that every purposeful man makes. My time has come. I am ready to go. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. There remaineth for me a crown. You will make those statements at the end of your journey. I say you will make those statements at the end of your journey, in the name of Jesus Christ. So I'm going to deal with this subject in a very basic fashion this evening, because I'm introducing it. I'll build on it at least for 2-3 other services, just to help everybody come into the frequency of purpose. See my brother, Minister Jimmy, so good to see you. The man moves like the wind. From Canada to US to Ghana to Zambia. What a blessing. Can we celebrate God's servant? He's a co-laborer. People like that should be honored. Glory to God. So very quickly, what are the benefits of purposeful living? In case you have not made up your mind to live a purposeful life, I want to advance a few reasons to convince you to. Number one, purpose brings clarity and direction. The reason many people are here and there is because they've not isolated purpose. When you find a man of purpose, he stays focused. He's not chasing everything. He's chasing only one thing. He's aligned to his assignment. Psalm 32 verse 8. God himself will begin to teach you the path that you should go. He said, I will instruct you and I will teach you the way that you should go. Why? Because when you start living purposefully, you focus your gaze on the one who sent you. So it becomes possible for him to gather you into your path. Isaiah 30 verse 21 said, your ears will hear a word behind you. This is the way to go. Purposeful people have a path they follow. Their emotions don't drag them around. People don't drag them around. Circumstances don't drag them around. They insist to stay focused. That is a power that purpose itself impacts on you. The moment you become purposeful, your passion is coordinated in a particular direction. It becomes difficult for you to be distracted. I used to be a football fan and a football analyst. Very deep one. They used to call me Skywide. We enter the studio and mesmerize you with records. But you see, when the weight of purpose became heavy, that appetite had to die. I can't go to the studio every Saturday and spend 6 hours. There are nations calling. My weekends are the busiest moments of my life. Imagine if I had to be watching football on Saturdays. Do you know how many crusades we sacrifice? Do you know how many apostolic meetings, apostolic conferences will be sacrificed? So a point came. The weight of purpose gathered me into my path. There's nothing wrong with having fun once in a while, including watching of football. But the weight of purpose will determine your path. Many people are here and there because they have not found purpose. One of the blessings of purpose is direction. You will just know what to do per time. There will be an urgency on your spirit. When others are roaming, you will pity them. Because there will be something driving you. That passion gathers you to your path. Number two, purpose gives you inner peace. Most of the noise everywhere won't get your attention. Today you see people, they go on Instagram and when they see what others are doing, they are dying. Oh, see my friend that we just left school together. See the watch he's wearing. He just bought a house. Look at that. You are bothered about many things. I'm happy genuinely for people who are doing well, but I'm on my lane. Things don't move you because you know your calibration. The reason you can easily lose your peace is, will you be offended if mess is rising? When you are a builder, his job is to run with the ball, score goals and make people happy. Your job is to get land and build houses. His success does not put pressure on you. But when you don't have a purpose, whatever anybody does, see, some of the prayers we even pray show that our heart is wicked. You see your brother doing well. That night, you go and lie down naked. Lord, what have I done? Oh Lord, why am I still here? And the angels are looking at you. What do you mean? Do you want to not leave your track to run his race? Stay on your lane, sir. This is what purpose does. It gives you inner peace. No matter what others are doing, you thank God for them. But you know what you are supposed to do. You just know what you are supposed to do. And you focus on it. So it makes you have rest. You are not under pressure. If you want to sleep, you sleep well. If you want to pray, you pray very prophetic and positive prayer. And you are just making your progress. Look at the way the Bible puts it. John 4:34. Jesus was talking. He said, my food, my meat, what satisfies me is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish it. So you can be doing whatever you are doing. Jesus is satisfied with the one given to him. He calls it his food. So nothing satisfies his soul like doing his mandate. When you find your purpose and you are doing it, believe me, you will be enjoying yourself while you are making impact. But when you are out of purpose, even when you are making impact, you won't be satisfied. Because you know that thing you are doing, your spirit is not there. You are just trying to react to show people that you are not failing. Brothers and sisters, stop reacting. Life is too important. Live according to your script. It gives you rest. Even when it is not yet happening, you will have this assurance that it will happen. You will just have it. The philosopher said in Ecclesiastes 3:11, he said, he makes all things beautiful in his time. Somebody else is moving as if the world will end tomorrow. Speed! Meanwhile, you are in one spot for 3 years. Your processes are different. A man who is building a one-story building, his foundation is shallow. But you are building 20 stories. That guy will finish roofing, parking. You are still digging. It doesn't mean you are failing. It's weight of destiny that is making the difference. That's why he said he makes all things beautiful in his time. You can finish a duplex in 2 weeks, in 1 month, in 2 months. You will pack it. You will do house opening ceremony, housewarming party. You will put it on Instagram. Some of us will clap for you. Thank God for what he has done for you. We are happy for you. Oh God, but what I'm building is 190 stories. The foundation alone is higher than 20-story building. There is a need to drill into the ground. There's a need to plant rods and metals. There's a need for casting. The money I will use for casting alone, we build 20 of what you are building. So I'm not offended that you are doing housewarming party. Thank God for you. You have completed your project. Me, I'm still digging. Because when I start going up, I will beat the cloud. That's why you will have peace. Oh, see this person. Oh, see that person. Our assignments are different. Peace. Peace. It will give you solace. It will give you rest. Number three, when you are living a purposeful life, you will have divine backing. Because God has a project. He has a program. All of us are part of it. He will support you to the degree of your alignment. God will support you to the degree of your alignment. If you are in error and God supports you, it's unfair to you. That's why most of us, it looks as if God is biased towards others. No, he's not. The moment you find your purpose, you will see the finger of God. It's almost instant because you are running his errand. The Bible speaking in 1 Thessalonians 5:24, he says, faithful is he that called, but he will do it. Because it's his calling, he will do it. Paul said in Philippians 2:13, it is God that worketh in us, both to will and to do, not of our pleasure, of his good pleasure. You see some people, before they kneel down, God has shown up. When they cry, God answers. And you are like, God by us, how is he working with these people like this? They are in alignment. They are in alignment. If you are not in purpose, God will be struggling to restore you. Your life will become like Jonah. So even when you have an encounter, it will be to throw you to the sea. So when a whale swallows you, it's a blessing. Because it's in the belly of the whale that you will become reasonable. Because that was when Jonah realized that his journey was not to Tarshish. And when he cried, the way vomited him in the direction that he should go. So some of the things, the hardship some of you are suffering, is a testimony that you need to shift your orientation. You are in the wrong direction. And I have taught you before, if you are in the wrong direction, speed is not an advantage. Find your purpose. Jesus said in Matthew 6:33, he said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. He said, all that the Gentiles are seeking, toiling, doing all kinds of drama to have, he said, they will become additions to you. See, the beauty of purposeful living, you can't quantify it. As I am like this, if I'm going to share testimonies, I will become carnal. There's no way I will share those testimonies and not appear carnal. It's not possible. It is difficult. I can't share testimonies, personal testimonies, and not be carnal. That's why most times when some of us are preaching, we quote other people. We share their testimonies to help you. Because if I tell you what happens to me and with me, as I'm talking to you now, if I carry my phone, 98% chance I have an alert from an unknown person. They can't leave that. Round the clock. From all around the world. If I stand here now, and I say, oh, I need something, believe me, in 24 hours, more than 5 people will lose their sleep. It will become their pursuit to get that thing to me. That's why we are careful. We don't tell you what we want. We don't mention it. Because somebody will go out of his way to provide it. That apostle said he needs this. The other time I was talking, I made the example with wristwatch. Somebody brought a leather bag with more than 10 watches. A leather bag, watches, more than 10. You were talking about watch. I don't know if you need. Take them. More than 10. You don't know, proposer. Systems will be under pressure when you show up. Men will be under pressure when you show up. Life will become like a bed of roses, literally. Don't pursue things. Find purpose. Give yourself for it. The things men pursue will pursue you. Because God will be on your matter as though he's jealous over you. And yes, he is. Number 4, what's the beauty of purpose? It gives you empowerment to impact others. You can't impact people positively if you have not found your purpose. Every purposeful person is a savior to other people. And you will see many examples. In Acts 13:36, the Bible said David served God in his generation and rested with his fathers. You go look at the men that David gave meaning to. The Bible says 400 broken and battered men came to David in Cave Adullam. He turned all of them to warriors. When David's life was at the end and the citation of those men was taken, none of them looked like a broken man. Everybody had become a general. Everybody had become a veteran just because they contacted David and worked with him. His life became a blessing to a generation. And even long after David has left, some of us have learned very meaningful lessons in life just by reading about David. So he's still impacting this generation after departing from earth for many generations. That's why the Bible said in Isaiah 60:15, he said, you were a desolate land. He said, no man wished to go through you. He said, but I have made you an eternal excellency, the joy of many generations. People who live purposeful, they impact their generation and many generations after them. Some of us are here teaching the word of God with some level of accuracy because we sat on the books and messages of men like Kenneth E. Hagin, on men like W. Kenyon, on men like Derek Prince. They were dead, but they left things that shaped generations after them. So you are accurate, you are making impact because of a dead man. Meanwhile, there are many living people around us who cannot impact us. It's not I'm around. Your presence means nothing if you have not found purpose. So don't be in a rush to be around. That's why most of you, when you come, they despise you. And you are saying, don't worry. People are wicked. Nobody's wicked. Everybody is busy pursuing destiny. So if you are not adding any table, please wait. We are not here for eternity. I'm telling you. You impact people to the degree you walk in your purpose. That's why purpose is so important. Today we are touching people in different continents because I found purpose. And many have found their own purpose within the purpose. And they are also impacting people. Do you know how many people are healed in Port Harcourt because of Pastor Daniel Chinekwe? Do you know how many people receive prophetic direction in Perth because of Pastor Godwin? Do you know how many people are blessed now because Pastor Frank coordinated this service? People are just impacting generations because they found their purpose. Most of the people that are in this service today are here because of Joseph. They mobilize people round the clock. When they win them, they bring them to catch fire. And if you start pointing people individually here, everybody is doing something. Every month we go out for medical outreach. I don't go there. It's Dr. Chiamaka that coordinates it. And they are giving eyeglasses. They are doing operations. They are doing all kinds of things. All our facilities are intact. And we are able to do missions because of wisdom. When this service is over, Sister Modeling, we gather all the first timers. Follow them up so they don't fall. People are fulfilling purpose, shaping lives, shaping destinies. You can't just hang around, sir. What we are running here, most of you gave for it to happen. This is not my project. This is God's project. The gen is running. The microphone is working. Life is on. Because you gave. Now we are working on our building project. Engineer Dami and Tunde, they run around the clock. Making contact, doing negotiation, bargain. All I get is reports. And it's God's purpose. It's God's purpose. By the way, most of the advice and counsel and rest that I have after all the pressure comes from this angel here. Come on now. Come on. Most of you don't advise me. Everything she must advise. Sometimes when she advises, I'm angry. I say, I don't need this advice. She will come later when I'm calm and say, but look at this. Look at this. The Holy Ghost will now tell you, why are you proud? I'm talking purpose. It gives you opportunity and platform to impact your generation. Do you know how many people are dying? Do you know how many are sick? Do you know how many people are wasted? If you don't rise, they will die. Some will go to hell. Some will suffer if you don't rise. I go to office sometimes twice a week. But there's a man there with Koboko called Jude. He will battle and wrestle them to do the right thing. Some hate him, but he will not say, I'm sorry. This is the job, and you will do it according to the book. Find your purpose. You will impact people, sir. I can call 100 names here. You see this happening. You see Apostle Mike. You are joking, no? Heaven knows who is doing what. And lives have been impacted at a nuclear level and at an extended level. Do you know all the School of Spiritual Foundations we are running is powered solely by Pastor Winnie? She coordinates the lecturers. They do the advert. The students come. They allocate the lecture time, including graduation. I come here with gown. And speak like a cherub. It's not purpose. You can't find purpose and not impact people. Some of you were crying when the choir members were ministering a moment ago. It's purpose. For some of you, you'll be blessed in this service based on the choir ministration. Not even what I'm sharing here. That's how it works. And it's not just in church. Some platforms will be in career, in business. But one thing you must pay attention to is impacting people. Some of you listening to me here, you have companies. You employ 10 people. You are the reason they have food on their table. Some 40, some 50, some 100, some 1,000. You are shaping lives. Imagine if you didn't find purpose. Those lives, some of those families, the doctors would have been prostitutes. Those who are sick, no money to go to the hospital, they would have died. So God has used you as an answered prayer to 1,000 families. Some of you are in leadership here. The decisions you make is the reason why we have relative peace in this country. So the beauty of purpose, amongst other things, is the fact that it gives you a platform to impact your generation. Number 5, why is purpose important? It procures for you eternal reward and eternal legacy. We just read from Paul, 2 Timothy 4, 7 and 8. He said, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. He said, there remaineth for me what? A crown of life. It gives you eternal reward. And no matter how long you live here, this realm is like a dot in eternity. In my own opinion, one of the major purposes of life on this side is to give you opportunity to determine your end state in the other side. Because how you will live forever and ever depends on how you live here. So life on this side is not a place to relax and forget yourself. No, it's a place to determine the shape of your throne in eternity. All of us, we build our thrones based on how we live here. That's why he said to save treasures in that realm. He said, God is not unjust to forget your labor of love that you wrought upon the faith. Purpose is important because number one, it brings direction and clarity. Number two, it brings fulfillment and inner peace. Number three, it engenders divine backing and provisions. Number four, it influences and impacts others. And number five, it procures eternal reward and legacy. This is why you must drive, press for purpose. There is a provision for those of us living by purpose. I was giving an illustration here the other time of how much we spend per week. Several millions. You think it comes from my pocket? No. God is the one who curates all the pathways through which those provisions come. I don't even know how they come. Do you think if I sat somewhere in a beer parlor drinking, somebody will wake up at the end of the month and send 2 million? They are not sending it because they like my face. They are sending it because they believe in what we are doing. And they are led to be part of it. When you walk out of your purpose, even the men who should have died for you will ignore you. And if you call for their attention, they will slap you. But you find purpose. People will literally die pursuing that thing you are pursuing. And it will be fulfillment for them. That's why you can't live carelessly. You must find your purpose. And you must live your purpose. Now, what does purpose entail? Because when we are talking purpose, it will be difficult to just define it by 2-3 lines. I know many people define purpose like the reason for your existence. It's part of it. Many people define purpose as doing what God ordained for you to do. Correct, but it's part of it. Many people define purpose as an impactful life. Correct, it's part of it. Many people define purpose as improving the quality of humanity and functioning according to God's will. Correct is part of it. The subject is boisterous. It's literally a spectrum. You know, when you see white light, if you say it's white, you are correct. If you say green, you are correct. If you say yellow, you are correct. If you say red, you are correct. You know what? White light is a combination of red, orange, yellow, indigo, blue, green, and violet. 7 colors make white light. So if you pick one, you are correct, but it's bigger. So if you really want to understand light, you have to define the entire spectrum. So very quickly, in order for you to fully understand purpose, what is the spectrum of purpose? Number one, purpose is divine intention for your creation. What God had in mind that necessitated your creation. Your life is not an accident. Please pay attention. Understanding this alone will give you security for existence. You know, most of us think, nobody cares. And we even go as far as saying it, somebody cares. Before you came, there was an intention. There was a motive. Jesus was speaking. If even the hairs of your head are numbered. You are not a product of an accident. You didn't just happen because 2 people met. No, it was not a product of mating. It was a deliberate intention before time began for you to be here. So when you understand this, number one, it gives you security that your life cannot be wasted. Nobody plans to create something for waste. Number two, it gives you assurance that there's support for you. Because the one who created you will watch out for your outcome. Will you invent something and throw it away? Nobody does that. So one, you have security that I'm not an accident. Two, you have assurance that somebody is looking out for you. So anything he allows you to do, there is a backing that you will have. That's why some of us, when God speaks to us, we are bold to go. I didn't initiate my coming here. He initiated it. As human as I am, if I create anything, I will watch out for that thing to be relevant. Is it God in his almightiness that will create something and allow it to waste. No. This is why you should have assurance that your life will not be wasted. And number three, when you understand this, it will put a responsibility of research upon you. Because now you know there was a reason for which I came. I must find that reason. Because if I don't, I've not started living. Understanding that purpose is divine intent gives you confidence that you are not an accident. It gives you confidence that there is a backing for your life. And then it puts a burden on you for research to find out what that intent is. This is why it's important to understand this component of the spectrum of purpose. In Jeremiah chapter 1 verse 5, it said, before I formed thee in the womb, it predates you. I knew you. It said, before you were born, you were framed in your mother's womb. I ordained you to be a prophet. So there is an intention for every one of us, no matter how many we are. The psalmist was speaking in Psalm 139 verse 16. It said, all the days of my life were ordained for me, and they were written in God's book before I was born. All the days of my life. So for people like us, there's no such thing as a bad day. When God was writing my story, I don't believe God will sit down and say, this is a bad day. It's the devil that is trying to make it a bad day. But because I have inclination that my whole days were written, I will fight the devil out of that day. This is not a plan. There was no plan for me to have an accident on this day. There was no plan for me to have cancer on this day. There was no plan for me to be rejected on this day. I won't let you bring it in. These things were written. No day of my life is an accident. My existence is not an accident. You can't make me feel so. This is purpose speaking. God intended for you to be here. And he intended for you to be here for a specific reason. Is it not the one the Bible said in Isaiah 46 verse 10? That it declares the end even before the beginning? Why would my life be a surprise? No, it's not possible. It's not possible. I'm giving you the substance that makes for boldness and audacity in the spirit of those who fulfill purpose. These are the understandings they have. I didn't come here by mistake. No, there was an intention. And if there was an intention, then there is a backing. And if there is a backing and an intention, I must find it. The day you achieve that, you have entered the journey of purpose. But it doesn't stop there. Because when you have isolated the understanding that there was an intention, then you go to the next step. That this intention resulted in a calling. This intention resulted in an assignment. So when you are actually searching out the intention, is the assignment you are trying to discover. So it puts upon you an understanding that you didn't come here to relax. You came here to work. You came here to serve. This is why purpose kills mediocrity and procrastination. The day you discover that included in the spectrum of purpose is an assignment and a calling, you will live every day of your life either fighting to discover it or living to fulfill it. If you find a man who is overly relaxed about life, he doesn't know purpose. Everybody who knows purpose is on the go. There is something to be done today. If every day of your life was written, then what was the assignment written for that day? Dr. Pastor Paul Nature was sharing and he said, you'll find some people, they eat and eat, and when the day is over, they say they want to rest. And he said, the question is, rest from what? What did you do that you want to rest? The first being that rested in scriptures, rested after walking non-stop for 6 days. You woke up, ate all kinds of food, and in 8 hours, you say, Kai, my body no be good. My body no be wood. You should be panel beaten. Man must rest. So man, you move from man must work to man must rest. So they eat to sleep. What a valueless existence. Don't live like that. There is a calling on your life. There is an assignment prepared before the foundations for you. Ephesians 2:12. The Bible said, We are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. You were created to walk. And listen, walk is not toiling. That's not what walk is. Toiling came when man fell. Why? Because the ground became cursed. That means when he labors, there will be no feedback, there will be no return, commensurate return for his labor. That means his propensities are diminished. So the realm if you operate from, he's no longer operating from there. Inspiration is truncated. Wisdom is truncated. The ability of God is truncated. So he's literally exerting himself to be able to produce little result. But when we were saved, we were restored back to what was already originally given to Adam. The word walk is the word ergon. It means become. So walk is actually a system created to provoke transformation. You gain experience. You manifest character. You impact your world. That's what walk is. And when you are walking, the lines fall for you in pleasant places. When you are walking, you deploy the ability of God to do the work. So at the end of the day, creation is responding to you, and the ability of God is available for you to produce results. So you are just like a medium through which God is changing things. That's why Paul says it's God that worketh in us. Philippians 2:13. But to will and do of his good pleasure. He said, I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. So there is the ability of God. When I stand here, I'm not making decisions just because I read chemistry, just because I have a PhD. No! When I stand here, the mind of Christ is activated. So there is inspiration from God. There is wisdom from God. There is guidance from the Holy Spirit. There is a measure of my ability that God uses, but largely it is his ability that worketh in me. That's why I have results that you can't explain, but you can't deny. Understand this. You were created for work. This is what purpose reveals to you. The Bible speaking in 2 Timothy 1:9, it said, God has saved us and he has called us with an holy calling. Not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace. There is a holy calling upon your life. And that calling is according to God's purpose. Romans 8:28. It said, they that love him. It said, all things work together for good for them who are called according to his purpose. So there is an assignment according to purpose. There is a calling according to purpose. So on one side, understand intention, that your creation came with intentionality. On another side, discover the assignment and live it out. This is what purposeful existence entails. And then number three, purposeful existence also involves understanding your design and uniqueness. Because the work you will do is dependent on your framing. Every one of us is designed for work. If you don't understand your design, even if you get your work, you can't do it. That's why you have not understood purpose until you have discovered yourself. So purpose entails identity. Purpose entails your framework. What was I made like? To understand what I was made to do. And many have not gotten their identity and their framework. That's why one of the biggest problems of humanity is identity crisis. People try to mutilate themselves to become like others. Meanwhile, they didn't know that they were shaped the way they are so that they can do the assignment that is uniquely designed for them. So when they now mutilate themselves, it now becomes impossible for them to do the assignment that their shape was framed to carry out. Intention
calling or assignment, and then design and framework. When we are talking about design, you know, these things are big. I'm just doing introduction. Because when we are talking about calling, there are five things that make for a calling. I can't go into it. And then when we are talking about design, oh my God. The Bible said you were fearfully and wonderfully made. You don't know what you were made like. Now ask yourself, who was saying that to who? Who was there when you were created? When God finished making you, He looked at you and even Him, what have I made like this? Because you were created not just to host God, but to mirror God. You were created with capacity to host and mirror God. No angel has that propensity. In Genesis 1:26, it says, let us make man in our image, after our likeness. It's on the strength of this design that they will be able to have dominion. Many people want to fulfill calling, but they have not yet isolated their design. They have not yet understood their design. What were you made like? And so now, they are now attempting to do the assignment. They now confront opposition. They no longer have the flexibility to switch into different mode in order to be able to challenge that opposition. This is why you need to understand your design. Because sometimes the road has bent. The road have different shapes. Sometimes there are warfare. There are opposition. Your different design will give you the flexibility to maneuver through the complex pathway of destiny. If you are rigid, you can't do it. And in my study of scripture, there are four basic designs that God gave to everybody that will fulfill purpose. Now, these designs are mixed in different proportions, depending on the uniqueness of your assignment. But you must understand it so that you know how to switch from one possibility to another as you journey through purpose. The first is that you were made as light. The second is that you were made as wind. The third is that you were made as fire. And the fourth is that you were made as a rock or a stone. There are certain battles of your life that will require illumination. There are certain aspects of your destiny that will require brightness. Because the challenges will come in the form of darkness. And then there are certain battles of your life that will require you to become like the wind. Unable to be trapped. Unable to be rejected. The same way you can't trap air. The same way you can't stop air from having access. Lock the door. Even you will carry air into the room. If you breathe, air will come out. So, there are certain aspects of your destiny. See, enemies will rise up. What you will need will be access. Light won't work. It's air that will work. So, no matter how they shut the door, you will still enter. They can't stop you from entering. And then there are certain aspects of your life that will require you to burn. So that when they touch you, they are the ones who will be hurt. You don't need to fight. Just become yourself. They taught you they are burnt. They taught you they are tormented. And they are wondering, who are you? You are fire. And then there are certain other aspects of your life that requires you to be a rock. If they like, they shall say what they want. You are where you are. If they like, they shall gang up. You are where you are. You are immovable. Stability is there. God knew why He designed us like this. Let's take it one by one as light. The Bible said in John chapter 1 verse 4 and 5. It said in Him was life. It said the life was the light of men. It said and the light shineth in the darkness. The darkness comprehends it not. One thing you will discover here is that everything God caused you, He first was. Because He created you to be like Himself. So this scripture revealed to us that the first light was Jesus Christ. When He was bringing you into purpose, He began by illuminating you. The same way the moon receives light from the sun. The moon has no light of its own. So He illuminates you for you to shine.
So in John 8:12, it says, so long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. Then a point comes, he now moves forward. Instead of just illuminating you, he now alters your form. And so the Bible said in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 verse 5, it says you are now the children of light. So you are not just connected to light. You too now take upon yourself the DNA of light. So Jesus came and said in Matthew 5:14 and 16, he said you are the light of the world, a city set upon the hill that cannot be hid. He said, let your light so shine among men that when they see your good work, they will glorify your heavenly Father. So what is he saying? He was light, he illuminated you, then he made you light. On the strength of this light that you are, the same way he subdued darkness, you too will subdue darkness. So they rise up, they gang up against you. When they have finished formulating their strategy, you look at it and then you know what to do. And you make them useless. You can't fulfill purpose if you don't know your design. Some of us are more light than we are wind. Because the greatest opposition of our destiny is darkness. So in our framework, the proportion of light will be very high. But we still have these other ones from time to time. Remember, there was a time they carried Jesus to the cliff of the rock to throw him down. That level, that place is not revelation. You can't preach there. Because light won't walk there. You know what Jesus did? He became the wind. And he walked through them and left. They couldn't hold him, sir. They thought they were dragging him. Because he was operating light. He was preaching. He was bringing illumination. The people were offended. They dragged him to throw him down. Jesus knew that he had to switch from light to wind. So when they came to the cliff of the rock, he maneuvered through them. Come on. You don't know the purpose, sir. He passed through, he meandered. Try to catch air. Let's see what you can do. He meandered through them and left them there startled. Because you are not just light, you are also wind. And guess what? He was the first wind. Because the name of the Holy Spirit is called Ruach. Ruach HaKodesh. Ruach. That's the wind. That's who God is. That's why you can't put God in a box. Try it. Any direction you carry him to, he can flow out and flow in. He's bigger than your trap. So when God wants you to fulfill purpose, he either gives you a predominant dimension of light, or he gives you a predominant dimension of the wind. And the Bible said in John 3:8, as the wind bloweth, he said, thou listest not from whence it cometh or where it goeth. He said, so are they that are born by the Spirit. So why light confuses darkness? The wind comes to make you invincible. Because when you speak of the wind, you speak of invincibility. And you speak of access. That's why some of you, they hate you, but they can't stop you. And even you, you know, it's not like you are doing anything special. But somewhere, somehow, at the end of the day, you still make it. There was a time, some of my leaders here know, more than 5 pastors called me and said they told them not to invite me. You don't know, this man is wicked. This realm is treacherous. Major platforms. What did you do? They gave us command not to invite you. If we invite you, we'll become their enemies. I said, don't worry. Just do what you are doing. God will send other people. My table is full. I don't even have room. Because at the time they were doing that plan, the earth had become my platform. And guess what? God now started opening platform that was bigger than all those platforms put together. So those who are saying, don't bring him here. Suddenly they see you here. And they are wondering, how did you climb there? As the wind bloweth. As the wind bloweth. As the wind bloweth. Thou listest not from whence it cometh or where it goeth. So are they that are born by the Spirit. I think The thing is so big that you know like you know your name. One met me in London. He said, you came to London? Who invited you? How did you make it here? I shook my head. London? Do you know how many invitations I've rejected to come here? I said, well, I came casually. I don't even need invitation to come. I came casually. The guy was so shocked, you could see it in his eyes. How did you come here? The next time he heard that I came, I was organizing my own program. I was not invited. I built a platform for Jesus there. You need to understand, there are certain flexibilities required for destiny. Some of the guys in Lagos, when they now saw me preaching for Pastor Iye Adeboye, one called me and said, truly, God is with you. God, Jesus Christ is with you. The Most High is with you. Because all our platforms put together is not as high as this one. The Lord Jesus is with you. Meanwhile, it is mundane to think like that. I just came back from the UK. The man of God was supposed to preach with me in Excel Arena. I said, no, what God wants me to do in this meeting will is a bit different from the direction you are going. Just preach. I will sit down and be blessed. You are too sure, sir. Never begged anybody for platform. Never promoted my messages. The message is the bean. It's ruach. It's spread on its own like wildfire. It's purpose. Know your dimension. It will cost you to fulfill destiny. And that's not all. He also made you a flame of fire. In Hebrews 1:7, he said, he maketh his angels spirits, but his ministers, not just Christians, those who will live for him, those who will manifest him, because he knows there will be battles, he made them to be a flame of fire. Do you know how Satan was judged? He said, I will cause fire to come out of your bowels and it will consume you to ashes. He prepared a lake of fire for Satan and his angels. So it is not a coincidence that he made you fire. You know why? When demons come to attack you, your appearance reminds them of their judgment. So you become judgment to Satan. Because he was judged by fire, you are now a flame of fire. This is why Satan runs from some of us. Because we are the visible expression of the judgment upon his life. God is wise. He maketh his angels spirit, but his ministers a flame of fire. So when we talk about fire, number one, we are talking about a power that makes you inconquerable by demons and hell. A man of purpose cannot be caged by darkness. He is light. A man of purpose cannot be trapped. He is wind. A man of purpose cannot be destroyed by Satan. He is fire. This is why we born to shine. In John 5:35, he was a burning and a shining light. You have to burn first. So if you only want to shine, hell will come. Don't wake up and start singing with a good voice. The voice, the talent is light. But you need consecration as fire. Because if you don't have fire, when you stand with that good voice, you will be cut off. That's why many are cut off in their prime. If you have not found fought destiny battles at your prime, you have not yet reached your prime. One of the signs that you have gotten to your prime is life-threatening battles. But can I tell you something? When we come there, that's where God demonstrates that he is more than a conqueror. That's where God demonstrates that he has put in us an ability that defies hell. He said, little children, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. He said, fear not, be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. He said, gather together, you will scatter. Take counsel together, it shall not stand. Speak the word, it shall not come to pass. For our God is in our midst. Who is our God? He is a consuming fire. So you have a God of fire, and you are also a creature of fire. So you are fire multiplied. I prophesy over someone. Every attack on your destiny, they go down now for you. Elohim Adonai. Elohim Adonai. Elohim Adonai. Elohim Adonai. Harakota Venata. Elohim Adonai. Our God is a God of wonder. Peace. Have this consciousness as you are fulfilling purpose. You are light. Nothing can confuse you, sir. When Satan comes in manipulation, you know. When men come with tricks, you know. You know why? Light is that which makes manifest. When you look at them, you can decipher and say, I know your heart. You know those who come with good motives. You know those who come with wicked motives. You can select men and choose who to go with. If inherent, you are light. And when darkness comes, you are not fighting, but they can't understand you. He said, the light shineth in the darkness. He said, the darkness does not comprehend. They don't know why all their traps are failing. What do you think? He said, no weapon fashioned against you shall prosper. It's from one level of illumination to another. The devil plotted for you of yesterday. He comes, version has changed. The new version is not compatible with the attack. It's light at work. So he said the part of the jaws is as a shining light. It shines brighter and brighter. The attack was for a dull version. Now that it has been shot, you have become brighter. They try to trap you, you pass. They try to block the way, you enter. They don't know how you enter. You are Ruach. Ruach, Ruach, he is Ruach HaKodesh. You are Ruach Godwin. You are Ruach Michael. You are Ruach Daniel. You are Ruach Victor. We are Ruach, Ruach. So it's Ruach HaKodesh and Ruach Michael working in partnership. Nothing can stop us. Come on now. Marakida Parakatoa, Peronos Kapila, Parakatoska Paradaya, Manta Katato, Fellas. Elohim Adonai. Elohim Adonai. Something. So long as the sun shines here, you will succeed. You know why? These same things are part of God, and they are also part of the elements of nature. So God designed it so that both Him and nature would be in partnership with you. That's why earth can't exist without the rays of the sun. So long as the sun shines there, you can't fail because you have an ally. So long as somebody breathes there, so long as there is any form of air there, or any constituent of air there, whether oxygen or carbon dioxide or nitrogen, so long as any constituent of air is there, you have an ally, you can't fail. The power and the beauty of purpose. Please, I'm teaching you this to change your mindset. Some of you, Satan deceived you that you are failing. You are about to fail. Tell yourself, not you. Light can't fail. Wind can't fail. Fire can't fail. They were here and they will remain so long as the earth remains. He maketh his angel spirit, his minister, flames. You know, light exists in all the realms. Fire exists in all the realms. In the realm of God, fire is for purification. He touched his tongue with a coal of fire. And he said, your iniquity has passed. So fire makes you always accepted in God's realm. So nothing stops heaven from supporting your purpose. Then, on earth, fire, if wrongly used, destroys. But if rightly used, harnesses energy to produce work. More than 60% of what we do on earth, the energy comes from fire. Because if you don't generate energy from wind, you generate energy from water, or you generate energy from fire. But in the demonic realm, fire torments. That's why when you show up in God's realm, you are purified. When you show up on earth, you generate energy for destiny. And when demons show up, you become a torment to them. That's who you are. And then he made you a rock. Sit down for a moment. Remember, the first rock was Jesus. The Bible says him that went with them was what? He was the rock. And he was not just a rock. He also made you to become a rock. 1 Peter 2:9. I'm giving you a mentality. I'm giving you a mindset. 2 Peter now, help me. I'm giving you a mentality. Please understand this. It will shape your destiny. Help me check. Is it 1:9 now? Is it 2 Peter 1:9? Where we say we are lively stones and we are being built up at the house of God. Then Isaiah 28, I think verse 10 now. It says, I lay in Zion a tried stone, a precious stone. It said, they that believe shall not make it. Check those scriptures for me. I want you to write it down. You are lively stones. You are not dead stones. You are stones that are alive. 1 Peter 2:5. I said 2:9. 2:5. Project it. And check Isaiah 28 for me. You need to know this. This is where stability comes. When you read the Bible telling you, be immovable. Be steadfast. This is your dimension is calling. The dimension of the rock. Ye also are lively stones. And you are built up a spiritual house. And holy priesthood. To offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable unto Jesus Christ. So you are a stone. And you know what the Bible speaks about spiritual stones? It says if anybody hits you, he will be broken. He said, but if you fall on anyone, you will crush them to powder. That's why Satan is careful when he sees a man of purpose. Collide with him, you are broken. If he collides with you, you are crushed. That's who you are. This is your shape. God didn't send you out as a vulnerable entity who Satan should play with or destroy. No! He rather sent us to torment them. He said, cast out devils. Cast them out. I am light. I am wind. I am fire. I am a rock. I am light. I am wind. I am fire. I am rock. I am light. I am wind. I am fire. I am rock. No devil can stop me. Hey! Some of you don't know this. That's why even your prayer sets you up. Pray. Lord, see the way Satan is killing us. Kill who? Who's Satan killing who? Oh God. See how hopeless we are. We are finished. See what? Have you ever heard that air finished? The angels will want to shock you. You need to know this. Lord, see the way they are pushing me up and down. They want to kill me. Kill who? Can you kill stone? saying deny that those things are happening. Don't deny it. Recognize them, but know who you are. Even in the midst of the storm, the psalmist said, many are they that have risen up against me. But he didn't cry and finish. He said, they said, there's no hope for me. He said, but thou, O Lord, you are a shield for me. My glory, the lifter up of my head. When Satan hears your prayer, let him tremble. He said, do I walk through the valley of the shadow of death? I fear no evil. Come on now. For thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. He now added the bomb. Thou preparest a table for me in the presence of my enemies. I flourish right in their presence. They are watching. They can do nothing about it. These things will intoxicate you, sir. It will intoxicate you. Oh, let all my enemies die by fire. Oh, God, relax. The ones that need to die should die. I'm not against them. Suffer not the weak to live. But some of them have to be alive. Some of them must be alive. They will see it because your rising is their judgment. You are prospering, they are tormented. Your rising is their judgment. I prophesy over someone. You walk out of this service as a flame of fire. You walk out of this service as a burning light. You walk out of this service as a rock. You walk out of this service as a wind. In the name of Jesus Christ. Purpose is not absence of battles, but it makes every battle to be a platform for manifesting glory. Don't be afraid of Satan. Don't be afraid of battles. You were prepared for it before they came. He said, no weapon fashioned against you shall prosper. He said, every tongue that rises up against you in judgment, it is a God. He said, thou shalt condemn. You were prepared for battle before he came. Wake up to your understanding of who you are. That's why I said, they that do know their God, they are strong and they do exploit. You know how many people have ganged up against you? Do you know how many have lost their sleep, yet you are prospering? 1,000 shall fall by your side, 10,000 by your right hand. It shall not come near you. Only with your eyes you see and behold the recompense of the wicked. You've not even seen up to 11,000 enemies and you are shaking. He said, in one day, 11,000 can fall, you'll still be standing. You need to know who you are. You need to know. Sit down, let's round up. But we'll continue another time. Manduraka felatea. Understand your design. Do you know why some of us don't beg for connection? My job is not to look for one, my job is to shine. He said, Gentiles will come to your light. He said, kings will come to the brightness of your rising. Your job is not, I beg, if you like, I beg, connect me with it. Don't dehumanize yourself. Now, there's a place for honorable partnership. But don't devalue yourself. It's like you are forgotten that thing. Don't go and ask Joseph. It's your light that will take you to the palace. You will beg them, they will forget. But when your light shines, it will create a need that only you can solve. You know what the king said? He said, for as much as God has been with you and shown you these things, he said, there's no one in your class. According to your word, the nations will be ruled. If your light is not shining, even if they take you there, they can make you cleaner. Have you not seen people who met presidents and became cleaner? Not just about open doors. Go as light. Go as wind. Go as fire. Go as stone. When the king see you, he will honor you. When Pharaoh saw Jacob, he knelt down for Jacob to bless him. If you are the father of Joseph, you have the right to bless me. And a foreigner blessed the king. Go as light. When we are talking purpose, we are talking intent. We are talking calling and assignment. And then we are talking design and uniqueness of your makeup. Then number four, we are talking consciousness of impact. You are not into purpose to enjoy. Enjoyment is a byproduct. You are into purpose to make impact. God has an agenda. He wants to use you as the channel. That's why he said in Matthew 5:16, let your light so shine among men or before men. Let them see your good work and glorify your heavenly Father. So the whole idea of purpose is to impact people so that people glorify God. They see your good works, they glorify your heavenly Father. You are not fulfilling purpose if you are not impacting others. In 1 Peter 4:10, it says we should use our gift to serve others. Philippians 2:4, it says don't look out for your own. It says but for the interest of others. You were raised so that you can bring justice to a territory. And when you bring justice, there will be peace. When you bring peace, there will be prosperity. You were empowered so that you can lift a vulnerable person. Not to do showmanship while everybody is your slave. You were blessed with resources so that somebody else will not need to cry for food, for shelter, for clothes. Because he sent his word to Jacob. It lightened upon Israel. Isaiah 9 verse 8. He sent his word to Jacob. He gave you a purpose so that others can find meaning. He didn't give you a purpose so that you become a god among men. So when you are talking purpose, if it has not impacted men, the circuit is not complete. The spectrum of purpose includes impact. When the time came for Jesus, Matthew 4:14-15, Luke 4:14-15, the Bible said he returned in the power of the Spirit and his fame went abroad. But the goal was not fame. The land of Zebulun, the land of Naphtali, by the way of the sea, beyond Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, the people that sat in darkness have seen a great light. They that sat in the regions of the shackles of death, is a great light is sprung forth. That's why he said in Luke 4:18, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He has anointed me not to feel important. He has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised. Some of you, the amount of money you have now is enough to renovate one primary school in a village. But you don't think purpose. You have 8 cars in your compound. There are schools where children don't have desk. Some of you, the amount of money you have now is enough to sponsor a crusade, so that on your account, at least 1,000 souls are saved. Some of you, the amount of money you have now, you should call and say, are you planting a church anywhere? I want to build one. A place where men will gather and glorify God. Some of you, the amount of money you have now is enough for you to drill boreholes. Even if you are selfish and you can't do it anywhere else, start from your village. How much do you drill a borehole? There are places where people trek miles to get a bucket of water. You drive there for Christmas. They say, we are going home for Christmas. You are not going home. You are going to a bush. With wisdom, what does it take to drill a borehole? 2.5 million. That's what some of you spend for weekend. The amount of money some of you have now is enough to go to a school and just buy them 3 computers. There are schools where if it rains, they literally rain on children. And to make it worse, some of us who are in government all we need to do is to present a bill for something to happen. You know what we do? Instead of presenting that bill, we rather collect the money meant for that constituency and we buy Ferrari and park in a village that have no road. And because we don't have tents in Africa particularly, people still celebrate them. You go to the Western world, they teach people that relevance is not what you have, it's what you give. But you come to Africa, relevance is what you have, even if you give nothing. So you see a leader, a politician, even a pastor, is living in a village where there's no road. He has a Rolls Royce. He has a Ferrari. And some people without character, they still project this. What a shame. Purposeless existence. Can I tell you something? Even if they find the mercy of salvation, they will be naked in eternity. Hope you know people cry in heaven. John was crying in heaven. If you think you will manipulate, rape humanity and go to heaven on the last day and say, Lord, I'm sorry, and you'll get salvation, you will starve in heaven as a servant. It doesn't take too much to impact it. It doesn't take too much. Some of you, the amount of money you have, even if you don't have an NGO where you can pay school fees, come to places like this. We have students on list that we pay school fees for. Give me five. Let me pay their school fees every time. How much do we pay? Pastor Sonny, where is Sunday? Most of the university students will pay for their school fees. There is no one that is more than 300,000. Some is 120. Some is 200,000. School fees plus accommodation. And on a monthly basis, we give some 30,000, 50,000 for upkeep. So in a whole year, if you adopt one student, at most, maybe 600,000. That's what some of us use for fuel in 1 month. Useless existence. You don't know purpose until your life impacts humanity. They say only 2% of the world population is living in the line of the wealthy. 2%. And more than 70% are below poverty line. That means everybody who God is helping has a responsibility to help at least 4 people. Even if you don't believe in church to do it in your environment. It's called purposeful living. Some of you, if you check now, from January till now, you can't remember anybody that you say take 1,000. Not even because of compassion. You can't remember one. What kind of life is that? Even when Paul was about to depart, in 2 Timothy 4, 6, he said, now I'm ready to be offered. Because he saw his life as an offering. That's why he said, I die daily. It's self-denial. Purpose comes with self-denial. There are some of you, all you need to do is to chip in a word for somebody. But you will never do it. That one call can give somebody else meaning. But you are too busy, you forget. What a lie. Purpose is impact. Purpose is calling and assignment. Purpose is discovery of your identity. Purpose is understanding divine intent. And finally, purpose is living for eternity. Living for reward. When you get to that point where your focus is that when you live here, you will hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant. I was in the UK last week, and Dr. Ferdinand was teaching. He said there are two races that God has set before everyone. He said one is the race of life. He said another one is the race of your assignment or calling. He said when you finish the race of life, God will say, well done, thou good servant, come into thy rest that God has prepared for you before time began. And so when you finish the rest of your assignment, God will say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. He said, now step into your reward. You must run both. If you don't live with eternity in view, you will waste today. Why do you think Paul fought a good fight? 2 Timothy 4, 7 and 8. Why do you think he finished his race? Why do you think he kept the faith? He told us in verse 8, there remaineth for me a crown of righteousness. So all his life, that crown was what he was pursuing. I have taught you about the 12 rewards of eternity. Go back, listen to it. Find out how to live your life. In 2 Corinthians 5:10, the Bible says we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, where all of us shall receive our rewards for what we did while we were in the body, either good or evil. In Revelation 22:12, it says, behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to give to every man, not according to salvation, according to his works. You must live a life of purpose. Tell yourself, no day will pass from today where I don't live purpose. Look at two examples, Joseph and Jesus. At touching intent, both of them knew it. In Genesis 37, verse 5 to 11, Joseph had a dream, and so he knew he would be a leader. He saw the sun and the moon and 11 stars bowing to him. So he knew he was a leader. He understood God's intent for him. And Jesus, John 3:16 and 17, he said, God sent him, his only begotten son, to die and bring salvation to the world. He knew his purpose. Then, as touching assignment, Genesis 45:7, Joseph preserved the whole world in the day of famine. He did his assignment. For Jesus, Luke 4:18, Matthew 1:21, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised. That was all he did while he was on earth. He knew his assignment. So they knew God's purpose for them. They knew the assignment and they did it. And then, you speak about design. Joseph knew he was an interpreter of dreams. Genesis 41:39. Anywhere he goes, I have a dream, if they tell me. I have a makeup that equipped me to do something about it. So if you say you have a dream, Jacob must hear it. He knew he was designed to interpret dreams. And then for Jesus, he knew he was a pattern man to live a perfect life and to exhibit divine nature, not just to save man, but to become an example. So in Hebrews 1:3 and in Hebrews 4:15, the Bible told us clearly. In fact, if you read from verse 1, it says, God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in this last day spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things. He said, who being the brightness of his glory, the express image of his person, upholding all things by the word of his power. So he lived to showcase God. And that's why over 400 prophecies fulfilled by one man. Anywhere there was need to exhibit God, he manifested it. And those who questioned him, he answered them boldly. In Matthew 8, if you read verse 58, Jesus said, Abraham your father saw my day and rejoiced in him. They say, you are not yet 50. How dare you say you have seen Abraham? He said, before Abraham was, I am. He knew he was God in human form. And his job was to manifest God. And everywhere he went, he manifested God. The Bible said there was no sin found in him. In him was no guile. Even though he was touched with the feeling of our infirmity, he never failed once. So they knew the intention of God. They knew their calling and assignment. They walked in it. They knew their design. They expressed it. And then number 4, they lived for impact. Genesis 50:20. Joseph saved the whole nation. He said, you meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. He sent me ahead of you to preserve a generation. So he lived an impactful life and he knew it. And then for Jesus, Acts 10:38. Impact all the way.
how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and power, who went about doing good, healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. So they live fulfilling the assignment, qualifying them for eternal reward. You were called to live for purpose. And in case you don't know what purpose is design. Purpose begins first with intent. The intention of God for your creation. Your duty is to find it. And it's to give you assurance that you are not a mistake. Number two, purpose is calling and assignment. Your duty is to do it. Number three, purpose is design. Discovering your identity and your makeup so that you are rightly positioned for your assignment. Your duty is to maintain it and refine it. Find yourself and refine it. Purpose number four is impact on humanity so that they glorify God. Your duty is to live making impact in a humble, cheerful, and selfless manner. And then purpose number five is living for eternity. Your job is to put your gaze that at the end, like I have said, when you look back, have fulfillment. When you look forward into eternity, let there be a reward. You don't discover your reward in heaven. You know it on earth. I have fought a good fight. I have run my race. I have finished my course. There remained for me a crown of righteousness that God, the righteous judge, will give to me. And not me only, for everybody who loves his appearing. My prayer for you is that from today, no day of your life will be wasted. You will live every day fulfilling purpose. And I decree and declare over you, anything you require for your purpose to be activated, for your purpose to be discovered, and for your purpose to be lived, it rests upon you now in the name of Jesus. Do you know the mindset you sustain when you are a man of purpose? Number one, I must discover it. I won't give myself rest until I discover it. I can read books. I can watch mentors to inspire me onto it. I can ask God in prayer, but I must discover it. Number two, I will live for it. And number three, if there is need for to die for it, I'm willing to die for it again and again. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, may that mindset be born in you. And may the grace to fulfill it be activated in you. In the name of Jesus Christ. Thousands of people were led to pray in the last 48 hours. Because we are living for purpose here. Hundreds were healed. Just by talking. One said he had kidney stone. The moment it was mentioned, it disappeared. Giving meaning to people. Giving succor to people. Just because you have found purpose. The Bible said, I have made you an eternal excellency. The joy of many generations. By the time you are living here, it will be said concerning you that you are a joy of many generations. I said it will be said concerning you. You are a joy of many generations. Rise up and pray for 1 minute. Father, help me to find my purpose. Grant me the grace to live for my purpose. Enable me to die for it if need be. Go ahead and pray for 1 minute. Are you praying? Pray in the Holy Ghost. Elohim Adonai. Elohim Adonai. Elohim Adonai. Elohim Adonai. Elohim Adonai. Hallelujah, hallelujah. the name of Jesus. I pray for the grace that opens understanding, for the grace that opens the eyes of men to their purpose. Let that grace come upon you now. I pray the passion that enables men to pursue their purpose. Let that passion rest upon you now. And I pray that the defenses that preserve men who walk in purpose, let it be formed around you now. In the name of Jesus Christ. From today, your life will not only count in time, it will count even in eternity. So let it be written. So let it be established. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. Give the Lord a big hand. You are not clapping like people who are jumping ushered into purpose. Since you need motivation, let me first go online. Those of you following from all around the world who have caught fire, who have understood purpose, give the Lord a big hand. Shout! A little one shall be a thousand, and a small one shall be a great nation. In Jesus' mighty name. You know, please sustain that mindset. Don't rest until you have found your purpose. And when you find your purpose, deploy everything in you to live for it. And then make up your mind to die for it if need be. That is how to live. And then the second mindset is, except God particularly tells you that your purpose is localized, make your purpose global and build system around it for it to be eternal. It's from Jerusalem to Judea to Samaria to the uttermost part of the world. Anything you are doing, except God tells you stay here, unless you receive that kind of instruction, otherwise make it global. And then build system to make it eternal. The Bible says, whatsoever the Lord doeth, it shall abide forever. You are a joy of many generations. Don't let it stop with you. We still talk about Abraham today. We talk about Jesus today. We talk about Paul today. That company should not end with you. When you go to the Western world, you will see a coffee shop. And you will see a plaque, 1904. Even coffee shop, some of them last for more than 1,000 years. That's how to think. And the grace to walk it, it comes upon you now. In Jesus' mighty name. Take your seat in God's presence as you jam those hands together like someone who has been imparted. Make it louder, make it louder. The shouting side is the winning side. The gloomy side is the oppressed side. Out of them shall proceed the voice of thanksgiving. Come on now, come on now. Out of them, out of them. He said, the voice of thanksgiving, the voice of them that make merry, I will glorify them. They shall not be small. I will multiply them. Can you provoke glorification? Can you provoke multiplication? Provoke it, provoke it, provoke it, provoke it. Hey! Glory, glory! Hey! Hey! Glory! In the name of Jesus, when you hear things like this, don't keep quiet and do like this. No! Be spiritually wise. He said, with joy you draw water from the wells of salvation. He said, for those that thanksgiving proceed from those that melody proceed from, he said, I multiply, I glorify. This little seed you have received, you want to multiply it, you want to glorify it, give the Lord a shout. Glory! You know, children of God celebrate when they are excited. But sons of God, they celebrate to multiply. They celebrate to create atmosphere of miracles. They celebrate to level Jericho. Our celebration is war. Our celebration is miracles. Our celebration is a mystery. Whether we are happy or not, it doesn't matter. But most times we are happy. But it doesn't matter whether we are happy or not. God!
Multiplication rests upon you in the name of Jesus Christ. Stop!
Hallelujah. Take your feet in God's presence. Fascinates me so much. One is Acts 16:20. Paul was beaten and flogged, wounded and thrown to prison. The Bible said they waited till midnight when everywhere was quiet. They now prayed and began to sing praises. Who praises when he's injured? Jesus comes to Lazarus' tomb. After weeping, you will think he will now go gloomy. The next thing, he starts giving thanks. It's a mystery. It's a mystery. The dead can come back to life. The prison door can open. Jericho can go down. The bread can multiply. The secret is shouting. It's celebrating. We don't celebrate because we are happy. It's a weapon. It's a weapon. It's a weapon. Somebody needs to go higher. That time, that time, that time. It was fragrant.
Come on.
Then it turned to fire.
My worship is my weapon.
My worship is my weapon.
Power by the fire.
This is how I win my battle. First it was fragrant.
Then it turned to fire.
Then it turned to fire.
My worship is my weapon.
My worship is my weapon.
This is how I win my battle.
Continue the rest at home. Glory, glory, glory. Take your feet. We are out of time. is permitted to live a life that is not imparted. As we teach like this, the grace is also imparted. Because these words, they are spirit and they are life. You must understand it. When we talk like this, we are also ministering in the spirit. You must understand it. For some of you, you'll be shocked. The remarkable things that will happen from this week. You'll be shocked. The next time I continue in this teaching, I'm going to show you the resources required for purpose. There are intrinsic resources and there are extrinsic resources. Some resources are born within and others are in your environment. And then I will show you how to harness those resources. Because this is the month of purpose and everyone must begin to live for purpose. If you are the one, your amen will be louder.
We believe you've been blessed by this sermon. For inquiries, please call +233 26 767 6055. +233 26 767 6055. Or send an email to info@godswordforus.com. info@godswordforus.com.